on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. We're into hour number three. I am Jim Rome. We are live in Southern California. Great to have you here. And I'm fired up for this. I should remind you, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. If you're on hold, you want to stay there. If not, I've got a phone line open. We are toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-636-8686. And why am I fired up? I'm always fired up when I've got a guest in-house. I'm even more fired up when I have two guests in the house. I'm joined right now by a cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks. He had 61 tackles. He had 8 passes defensed. He had 2 interceptions last season. He was the 90th pick overall in 2017 out of UCF. I am joined also by a linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks. He had 11 tackles last season. He was the 141st pick in the 2018 draft out of UCF. And the two of them are authors of a book. It's called Inseparable: How Family and Sacrifice Forged a Path to the NFL. The book came out on Tuesday. Of course, I'm speaking of Shaquille and Shaquem Griffin. Fellas, good to see you both. How you doing?
Doing good. Thank you for having us.
Good to see you. Now, I want to talk about the book in a minute, but how is life treating both of you? Shaquille, let me start with you. How has the offseason gone?
It's been going great. I feel like we took the little journey to kind of make sure you get our body completely right. So we trimmed all the way down. Again, our body, we want to be in the best shape ever. And the offseason, it was good to us. We definitely enjoyed it. It's been moving pretty fast, but man, it's been great.
Shaquille, let me ask you one more thing. We go back to last year in the draft. You had already been with the Seahawks, and you had really started to establish yourself. What was it like to see the team draft Shaquem and know that you'd be playing with your brother once again?
Oh, man, that was something special. It was very emotional. That's one thing I can say. It was an emotional moment. And being the one to see the number first before he actually did, I just remember seeing the area code. And I seen that number, and I had to bust into the bathroom just to find him. So, man, it was emotional. I just remember having the whole family just sitting there hugging each other and crying. It was an emotional moment.
That's great. Now, Shaquem, more than a year later, what's it been like to play with your brother in the NFL? Like, from the outside, it seems like that's got to be a dream come true. What's it felt like to you?
It definitely was a dream come true, and it still feels like a dream sometimes because, as a kid, you're growing up hoping that you can get to this point, get to this level, and just to be at this level at the same point, at the same team, and, living together, it feels like so real right now because it's like we go to meetings together, we go to practice and we back home trying to see what's our next meal. And, I won't change for nothing in the world. I mean, it's an amazing thing. It's like we're still dreaming.
The brothers Griffins joining me in studio. Now, Shaquille, the natural question is when you come out with a book, why do you write the book? And you've said the reason to write the book is you come from a family that has a story. And this is a family that says if you have a story, you should tell that story. Why was it important to share the story now?
I feel like it's important now because, everything that's been going on, after the combine and my brother getting drafted, we continue to ask about, how did it come apart to, what he went through and, what happened. So it's like instead of just giving bits and pieces, let's just tell the whole story. And then we want to be those guys that want to try to change, the world. And, I feel like our story can help do that. And we want to be able to relate to, other people and everybody. So I feel like it was just that time to kind of give all into it. We're young and I feel like this is the best time. We're on the best, stage to do it. And I feel like it's the perfect time. And then go ahead and just tell the truth and get everybody to see everything about us and kind of know exactly who we are.
Shaquem, what about you? What's the process been like to put this down on paper and to put this in a book and to share your story? I mean, you've told your story a number of times, but to write this thing down, to sit with your brother and do it, what's that process been like?
It's been an emotional ride. I mean, for me, we talked about it in college, and for me to actually do it, at first it's like, oh, I'm not sure. I'm thinking I'm ready for that part of my life to just put everything out there. But, as you go on through the years and you tell your story so much, it's like maybe it's time for them to hear the whole thing because, it's not about me. It's not about just playing football. It's about who I can help and who I can inspire. And it's not just me just going through adversity. It's about the adversity I went through and how I was able to handle it. Sometimes people learn from example, and in that book can give you an example on how you can always have that second chance and say, you know what, I made this mistake. I can do this. Oh, I had this type of adversity. Now I need to go do this. And it feels good to kind of put it on paper because I know it can help so many people because it helped me.
This book is out right now. Shaquem, let me ask you about adversity. Like, you've been through so much. You've overcome so much. You opened the book by writing about the experience of the draft. Now, the fact that they told you and your family you were invited to the draft, that's a great thing. You weren't selected in the first round, which was not necessarily a surprise to you. But Roger Goodell invited you back because he was certain you'd be picked in the second round, but that didn't happen. And then you weren't drafted in the third round. What was the experience like for you?
I mean, it was definitely a new experience. I mean, you're only going to get drafted one time. And for me, it was more of, you know, knowing and not being naive to the fact that, you know, obviously coaches gonna see something, but, you know, it's their jobs and they got to make choices. And it's right on the spot. And sometimes the decisions can become tough because you're not knowing. And, you know, obviously for me, I know what I'm going to do. My brother know what I can do. A lot of people know what I can do. But, you know, sometimes they just can't see it until it's time. And, you know, it's ways that you can handle it, but it's always how you can be able to handle it. And it's just taking that and say, use it to be my fuel to my fire and be able to push him harder, because I know in myself that I got to keep pushing. I got to keep showing people because, you know, it's the right thing to do, and that's what I want for myself.
Listen, you've always bounced back. You've always come back. You've always bounced back. You're amazingly resilient. But in that moment, right, you said, quote, "I'm not a very emotional person. My identical twin brother, Shaquille, was typically the one who wears his emotions on the sleeve. But I broke down that night in the hotel room." What were you feeling in that moment?
It was an emotional time for me because you know that you put so much effort into everything you do. You know what I mean? It's blood, sweat, and tears, and you get everything you got every single day. And, you know, you want your work to be appreciated, but, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work that way. Sometimes your work is not finished. Sometimes you got to give even more. And I feel like a lot of us go through the same thing where, you know, times can get hard, but it's what you're going to do when the times get hard. And I just feel like it was the time for me to be able to understand what I was going through. And now I know I got to push even harder because even when I feel like I'm getting close, I'm still far away.
You know, the key phrase right there is something you had to understand that you were going through. And there's this great passage in the book where you guys literally only understand each other and that nobody on the outside, maybe even your family, doesn't understand. As an example, you write, "Y'all don't know what it's like to be me. Shaquille is the only one who understands me. Y'all don't know what else I go through. I work hard to get to where I'm at right now. When everybody else is giving 100%, I have to give 110%. It's still not enough. It's not fair. Why me?" Shaquille, what's it like to go through that experience with Shaquille and to feel his pain? Because you are the only one who probably knows.
No doubt. It's emotional because you feel like, why is it that he got to go through this? You know, and being so protective and being the brother that I am, you know, I used to pray at night and wish, like, "Lord, if it could be me, why wasn't it me? Like, if I could take his pain away, just give me his pain, and I carry it on my back myself." And, you know, it's times at night where you pray and stuff like that, you just want to take the pain away, and I couldn't. You know, there's time where they picked him, and he had to, you know, overcome and, you know, go through all these adversity and situations. And it was him that, you know, the Lord chose. And he chose the right one because you see how far he came today. And it's awesome to see. You know, I'm definitely proud of him for everything that he have accomplished. But it was time. Like I said, I just wish I could, you know, take all his words and his pain away. But I couldn't. That was just me being the protective brother I am. Understand what he's going through, you know. You know, I feel like no one knows him like I do. And just to see the thing that he went through. But look how far he came today. We both got through it.
Dude, there is so much love in this room. I mean, Shaquille, what's it like to hear? And I know you've heard this from Shaquille before, but what's it like to hear him say, "Why couldn't it have been me? I wish it had been me. I don't want this for my brother."
I mean, it's just who he is. I mean, throughout our entire life, you know, y'all want to be protective of me and being able to, you know, feel like if I'm going through something, it's just like, you know what, let me take that pain off your shoulders. Let me carry it out. Let me carry that, some of that weight. And that's how he always was. I mean, even while I was going through something, I always came to him first. I always talked to him about certain things because it allowed me to take some of that weight off my shoulders to give it to him, and then we'll both carry it together. That's just a type of love and bond that we have each other. Is you'll never have to carry the weight by yourself. You know, that's why we're together, and that's why we go every single place together, because, you know, we always going to have each other's back.
So good. This book is called Inseparable. It's out right now. Now, when you talk about a book being called Inseparable, it's about the relationship between the two of you, but it's not just that. Like, Shaquille, obviously, it's about the entire family. Is there any way that you and Shaquille are here without the strength of the entire family around you?
Oh, no doubt. Without them, I have no idea where we'd be. You know, if you go into the book and it talks about the sacrifice and the situation that my parents have put in just for all this to even come. You know, we had 4 years old. My mom had to make one of the toughest decisions of her life. You know, to have his fingers and stuff removed just so he can be happy enough and feel comfortable enough to be able to move and play around and, you know, and not sit there and have that pain. Just understand that, you know, the age of my mom was at, and, you know, that's a hard decision to make. So it talks about, you know, all those decisions. And, you know, growing up, it talks about, you know, my brother making sacrifices, taking to each camp, you know, taking off work, you know, he's dropping everything to support our dream. So, you know, like I said, I have no idea where I'd be without them. So it's definitely more than just us on that. When we say inseparable, it's not about just me and my brother. It's about the whole family, you know, and the collective group and everybody else behind the 24, you know, 7. So it's It's cool to see.
You mentioned that what a excruciating, difficult decision your mom had to make. Shaquem, you and I have talked about this before, but that night that the pain in your hand was so excruciating, you attempted to cut it off. You and I have talked about this, but what we haven't talked about is the story that you went to the hospital to have it amputated, and you begged your mom to let you to go to preschool with Shaquille the next day. Is that how that went? And what was the rule about playing football? And how long did you honor that rule? We haven't talked about that. How did that go down?
It's just once it happened, once I knew that the fingers were moved, it gave me another opportunity to do more things. I mean, it's different when you see your brothers and everybody.
See what you just said? Once I had my fingers removed, it gave me an opportunity to do more things.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And me being that age and trying to understand that, and me being where I'm at now and seeing it more, it's just when you see kids who have like different limbs taken away or you have the amputees, it's always what I can do now. It's not what I could have been doing. And it's so crazy because that's what I was thinking. It's not worrying about what I just had removed. It's about what I'm able to do now. And that's the opportunity for me to play ball. That's the opportunity for me to be with my brothers. The possibility of being a big-time football player. Everything was starting to open up once it was removed. I wasn't worrying about what was taken away. I was worrying about what I was going to gain.
But just so I'm clear, though, you were in preschool, right? And you had the procedure done, and you wanted to go to school the next day?
Yeah, got in trouble for playing football with my brothers.
And you want to play football the next day?
The bandages are still on my hand.
So the bandages are still on your hand. What was the rule about playing football? What did your parents say?
My mom didn't want to get my bandages dirty because, you know, just had surgery.
Right, dude, because you just had surgery.
And I came in with a dirty bandage, so that wasn't good.
What do you remember about that?
Oh, I don't remember much. that was a long time ago, but, you know, I know my mom was pretty upset, but, you know, it's kind of hard to get upset when you see your child so happy and enjoying his life and, you know, not seeing him go through that pain anymore. So I know she was happy about that, but like I said, it was a long time ago. It's kind of hard for me to remember that.
Incredible. Now, Shaquem and I have talked about your dad, Terry. Let me ask you about your father, Terry. For those of you, for people who do not know, what's he like and what kind of an impact has he had on both of you?
He's definitely a mad scientist when it comes to, you know, creating things for my brother. But no, he was just, I guess I feel like I got my overprotectiveness definitely for him because he's just always caring, you know. He did whatever he could just for the family, you know, to continue to provide. But he sacrificed so much, you know, taking the extra time to, you know, build things for my brother or just make sure that, you know, we was a step ahead of everybody, you know, just taking the time to work a little harder. He just always gave us, you know, some type of situation to be in to make us work even harder. I remember, it's always a good story to tell, but...
Do it.
I remember he used to have us doing calf raises. You know, when we take a shower, he said, just do 100 calf raises. So when you go to school, you know, we're probably like maybe 10 years old. So he was like, you know, when you go to school, the girl's going to be looking at you like, ooh, look at his calf muscles. They look pretty. So when he told us that, it's funny now because it never happened. He told us, he was like, yeah, just do 100 calf raises a day and the girl's going to love it. He's going to love it. And I did calf raises every single day in the shower, 200 calf raises every single night. And not one time.
And how much love did you get for it?
None.
Nothing. Nothing.
But he found ways to make it happen. So it is cool. But, you know, he always found a way
that is,
you know,
so
to motivate
good.
Us. He's a motivator.
That is really funny. So now, one of the things that are included in the book are letters from people with limb differences. Why was that something that was so important to you both?
It was so important to me because, and I just want everybody to know that when you get a chance to inspire or motivate somebody, and sometimes you just want to be heard. I think for me growing up, I didn't get a chance to really see a lot of people or, you know, meet a lot of people who was like me, who wanted the same goals and had the same aspirations to be great. And, you know, it's always good to hear people and see their letters and hear what they're talking about because they just want to be heard too. And that's so important because this, them being heard, allows them to get that more push. Like, you know what? I'm going through the same thing he's going through. I can accomplish the same thing. Why not? Why not me? Why not just have the opportunity to put myself in the best situation to be the best me? So I love seeing that. I love having that positive energy from everybody. Cause that's what you want to know. You want to see that positive energy and you want to keep it going.
So you guys obviously learned so much from each other about so many different things. Shaquem, what have you learned from Shaquem?
You just can't feel sorry for yourself. I feel like I learned that the most. You know, it's always, you know, something that someone could be going so much worse. It could be going so much worse for someone else. And he never felt sorry for himself. Going through all the situation, the circumstances, and all the obstacles he had to overcome, he didn't second guess himself, and he never felt sorry for himself, and he kept pushing. So I definitely take that to heart because it's – it's no time to try to feel bad for yourself because you got so many people looking up to you. And sometimes you got to continue to motivate and you got to push through. If you can't push for yourself, push for them.
Shaquem, what about your second year now? You're going to enter your second year in the league. When you look back on that first year, I mean, that's what you spent your entire life working towards. What kind of thoughts do you have about your first year in the league?
Definitely a learning experience. I mean, it got better every single week. It was a chance for me to just become a vet. You know, college is over. It was a chance for me to learn how to take care of my body, learn how to be a great teammate, and just learn how to, you know, take in a lot of stuff from the vets. And I feel so confident about this year. You know, I finally feel comfortable out there. I want to make plays, want to run around, and get a chance to rush more this year. I mean, the opportunities that's going to be presented for me this year is going to be amazing. I'm ready to get started. I didn't know how long the offseason was until I had my first one.
You talked about taking care of your bodies. Now, you guys, is it true? Have you hired a chef? And are you guys both focused on clean, burning fuel? What's that been like? And did you have to give up some of the grub you liked?
Yeah, no, we definitely had to give up a couple of things. But, you know, when it's important to you, it's okay going through that process. So I think this offseason I lost maybe between 15 and 20 pounds.
No kidding.
Yeah, just getting cut and lean, want to be able to move faster. But, you know, when you love it, it's cool to, you know, start sacrificing the things that you do love. But every now and then we get a little taste here and there. We get one cheat meal, not a day, one cheat meal, you know, a week. So, but besides that, you know, I feel great. I feel amazing. You know, and that's the best part about it. So I feel like that was one of the best decisions we made this offseason.
Feel faster.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, that's faster. The key. It's not a cheat day. It's a cheat meal. So if you get one cheat meal, what day is it and what is the meal?
So we usually do it on a Friday. So we get a workout in. So that's the best time to really do it. You have to work out. And I feel like the cheat meal is the hardest thing to decide. So between wings, burgers, you're going to get cheesecake. And this is all one sitting.
Can it be as much as anything you want? I mean, can you do whatever you want?
For it. You go for it.
So you gotta let your mind really, you gotta imagine something great. And it gets tough. So really sit there and Google different things to eat. Because it is tough. When you get one cheat meal.
One opportunity a week.
Well,
one
you gotta opportunity. Make that count, dude.
They gotta make it count.
If you're on your grind, you gotta make that
tough.
Count.
And the thing, I promise you, it's a tough decision to make. I know every time we do choose a meal, I just throw a cheesecake in there. You can't go wrong with cheesecake, so I just throw it in there. No matter what.
Where does the cheesecake come from?
Usually, well, we back in Seattle, I definitely go to the Cheesecake Factory. You can't go wrong.
Either, restaurants.
You know, we'll go grab our food.
A slice or the entire cake?
No, just a slice. You can't do the whole cake.
That's gonna get crazy, right?
I think we'll be going backwards if we did the whole cake.
Did you guys ever push away from the table and say, man, we should have done better? That did not feel like we cheated hard enough.
The first couple weeks was terrible. I was like, you know what? Let's do chicken tacos. I said, no, you know
that
what?
Ain't
and
cheating.
And then I would eat it. I said, that wasn't bad at all.
I'm a legend if I do that. Well, if your cheat deal makes me like the cleanest burning guy ever. Like, yeah, chicken tacos, man. Look at me.
We was messing up the first couple
like
weeks.
Kale or something.
I think the next week after that, I think we did shrimp or like some seafood.
Still not good
enough. So we was doing pretty bad. We was trying to figure it out. And then I think the next one, I said, you know what? Let's just find the sloppiest burger we can find. And then that's when we started getting good at what we was doing. So, you know, it took some time. We had to figure it out, but we definitely got it down packed now.
I'll be thinking about you fellas on Friday night. In fact, I'm going to cheat tonight. I cheat most nights. Listen, this book is amazing. The book is out right now. They are both authors. The book is called Inseparable, How Family and Sacrifice Forged a Path to the NFL. It came out on Tuesday. Guys, really quickly, by now people know where to find books. But if they want to find your book, what's the best way to go about getting the book?
I feel like right now the best thing to do is just go on Amazon. You can type it in. If some people don't feel like they want to read, it's on audio. You can listen to it. You know, plug your headphones in and just check it out. And separate with a book.
Buy multiple.
Yeah, check it out.
Don't buy one, buy multiple and give them away.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you guys, congratulations. Share. Good for you guys. I mean, so great to get caught up with you guys. You know, I've always loved having you both on the program, but to do it both here in studio, to take this kind of time, great to see you both. You look great. You sound great. Congrats on the book. Really appreciate you.
Really appreciate you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having
Shaquem
us.
And Shaquem Griffin. That was so fun. If you've got thoughts on that, you know where to find me. The telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter. Find them on social. Buy their book. Buy multiple books. Pass it around. It's a really good thing. We ran heavy, but that was worth it. We'll take a short time out. We'll come right back. In Southern California, I'm Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
What an amazing conversation that was with Shaquem and Shaquem Griffin. Amazing guys, amazing ballers. God, tremendous guys. Just absolutely awesome, awesome individuals. Hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Do you not have time to wax your car? New 303 touchless sealant is going to save you hours. In fact, it takes just minutes to apply. You simply spray on and then you rinse it off. It protects up to 2 times longer than traditional waxes. More protection and shine, less effort and time. Available at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You know, sometimes guys come in or gals come in and the light goes on. They put on a show. The light goes off. They're not the same person that they are when the light was on. I get it. I understand it. Everybody's got a job to do. They've got a show to do. Those guys are so genuine and such good, good guys, good, good people. I mean, great football players, but better people. Seems kind of trite and cliche to say that, but really, great players, better people, and exactly the same before the interview as they were during the interview, as they were off the interview. That's an amazing family and a great, great book, a great read. This email says, Jim, the bond between the twin bros is legit. My twin bro, Matt, is my rock. I can relate to the bond that these guys have. That's a great interview. Would love to hear these guys on the pod. 12-Wood. 12-Wood's got a twin bro. I mentioned that passage where Shaquille and Shaquille were talking about the fact that as close as the family is, that as brothers, as siblings, that even their parents can't possibly know exactly what it is they're going through. That sometimes the only person in the world who knows is my bro. Romy, Shaquille and Shaquille got me a bit dusty. If you have that kind of life, you are truly blessed. That's what's important. War the Griffin family. Thanks, Nikki. Got me a little dusty too. I'm telling you, if you sit in the same space with those two guys and you can't feel that love and you don't get a little dusty about it, I mean, it was really powerful. I don't know what it was like if you were watching it on CBS Sports Network. I don't know what it was like if you were listening to it on the radio. I'm telling you, I was seated across from these guys. It was really powerful. Really powerful. Jim, I love that interview. This may sound cliche, but my mood is better hearing how genuine and inspiring Shaquille and Shaquille are. I really loved it. Thanks. Signed, Bella B. in Calgary. No, that's not cliche. I mean, if you don't feel better after hearing those guys, that's on you. At MTB, Darren tweets, best interview in a while. War the Griffin twins, war the book, war the Seahawks getting enough jungle karma to kill the Niners and the Raiders. Wells in the 360 tweets, absolutely love the Griffin twins. Amazing backstory. The support they have for each other is inspiring. Plus, they're good players. They're very humble and respectful. I was stoked when they both ended up in Seattle. Go Hawks. Derek Danziger tweets, as a former lifelong Chargers fan, I've been searching for a new team to support. Thanks for the interview with the Griffins. Inspiring story. I will be rooting for the Seahawks this year. I'm glad that hit you the way that hit me. And it should. They were amazing. That was so fun. That was so good. All right, when we return, one last segment. Caleb is on hold. And I do want to talk about Jocko Willink, who is the subject of episode 88 of the Jim Rome podcast. Again, don't listen to it yet. Listen to it at the top of the hour. It'll be well worth your time. You'll love it. I'll hit that when we return. And if you want to talk about the Griffins and their new book, go ahead and do that too. Let's get you a sports update. We do this every single bottom of the hour here. Welcome back. Good show. Shaquille and Shaquille Griffin were in studio. We had Darius Leonard on in hour number two. Howard Beck breaking down the NBA. I actually led the show with my thoughts on the U.S. Women's National Team and the rager, the bender they're on, and that's not going to end anytime soon. And I've been talking about episode 88 of the Jim Rome podcast. An episode that I talked about before I taped it. An episode that I talked about before I taped it, but I didn't want to jinx it. So before I jumped that bird to Wisconsin, I was sitting on a podcast book that I thought was so good that I could not bring myself to promote it because I did not want to jinx it. We hadn't taped it yet. It was booked. It was locked in. But until it's actually done, you don't want to jinx it because this is a guy that I've been chasing for quite some time. This is, like, I've never put people on that I didn't want to talk to, but to be truthful, there's that small percentage that even I get really hyped for. people that I really want to meet, people I really want to talk to, people I really have questions that I want to ask of. And although I'm really interested in everybody, or we wouldn't put them on, obviously, there is that small percentage. And this guy qualified as that small percentage. And I didn't want to turn up the hype machine too high because I was afraid that it might fall through. Because that does happen in the business. And oftentimes, it's nobody's fault. It just happens. People's schedules, especially really busy people's schedules, get moved around. They fall out of pocket. Maybe they get sick. Maybe they have to travel. They get called out. Things happen. I understand this. So I kept it to myself. I prepped up. And I hoped that it came through. And then finally, yesterday, it did. Yesterday, I taped and released episode 88 of the Jim Rohn Podcast with a guy who I think is a legend. I don't say that very often. I mean that. A legend. Jocko Willink. Now, maybe you don't know that name. Maybe you don't know that name, but if you listen, you will soon enough. Just give it a minute or two. Because if this episode is your first exposure to Jocko, and he's not pushing for it, by the way. Jocko, there's nothing about Jocko that says, look at me, listen to me. He's just putting it out there. Do what you want with it. Pay attention to it, respond to it, use it, or don't. That's not his deal. I'm the one pushing this guy. I'm the one hyping this guy. He's not doing it himself. You see, Jocko, and this is why he's so compelling, like, who is this guy, Rome? What is it about Jocko? Jocko has carved out this massive spot in the media space as a retired Navy SEAL. Now, if you know me, I do have a fascination with these guys that have served our country and these guys that have, you know, the right stuff. I've always been fascinated by SEALs and guys of the similar ilk because you want to be like that, right? I mean, I want to be more like these guys. I think a lot of us do. So Jocko is a retired Navy SEAL. He spent 20 years in the military. He earned a silver and bronze star, and he's transitioned beautifully into a highly successful podcaster, an award-winning, best-selling author, an entrepreneur. He runs a number of businesses, and he's extremely coveted as a motivational speaker. This guy's brand could not be any stronger than it is. And if you follow him on social media, or you listen to him, or you read him, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, Jocko, a lot to say about Jocko. One thing about Jocko is he knew at a pretty early age exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to enlist, and not just enlist and be a member of the armed forces. He wanted to be specifically a Navy SEAL.
I wanted to join the military ever since I was a little kid. Ever since I can remember wanting to do anything, I wanted to be some kind of commando. You know, I had little military soldiers around my room when I was a little kid. I had little commandos with rubber rafts that would, with grappling hooks that they would throw up cliffs. And this is what I kind of envisioned when I saw those little army men when I was a kid. That's what I wanted to do. So when I got done with high school, I enlisted in the Navy. I'd heard about the SEAL teams. I'd heard it was really hard training. I heard that they were going to war and they were going to be in the front. And so that's what I wanted to do. That being said, I was a pretty rebellious kid, kind of anti-authoritarian as a kid. So I was into hardcore music and heavy metal music, and I did a lot of things that I probably shouldn't have done when I was a kid. But as soon as I enlisted in the Navy, they give you a clean slate. No one cares about your past when you join the military. They just care about what you're going to do now. And as soon as I realized that, I just started trying to be a good sailor in the Navy. Very quickly went to basic underwater demolition SEAL training, and from there just tried to be a good SEAL, and that's what I spent my career doing.
So even if you know nothing about Jocko, you hear that voice, right? He's got that it. Jocko's got this it. He's really compelling. Now, one of the staples, of course, of SEAL training is Hell Week. I think everybody knows about Hell Week. I asked Jocko, tell me the difference between somebody who makes it through Hell Week and somebody who does not.
The people that made it through didn't quit, and the people that didn't make it through, they quit. The reason I say that, and it sounds like kind of a flippant answer, but the bottom line is there is no common thread other than that, because I had guys in my SEAL training class. I had one guy that was the UCLA water polo player, just an incredible athlete, team captain, and a total stud. I had another guy that was an Olympic gymnastics alternate, just another total stud. I was like a mediocre high school athlete. I played soccer and basketball. I wasn't great at either one of them. I made it through the training, and both of those guys quit. What does that tell you? It tells you that, yeah, it's definitely there's some mental game that you have to have, but it also tells you that there's no real common thread, because what it boils down to is there's some people that are going to go to that training and they're going to quit, and there's some people that aren't.
So now, Jocko, I think, to me, is one of the most unique and exceptional people I've ever spoken to. He would call bullcrap on that. Jocko would tell you he's not exceptional at all. He would tell you he's simply a product of his choices, that we all are. And that if you do what you know you should do, throughout the day, every single day, you'll dominate. And the way you do that is with mind control. Now, you don't control other people's minds, you control your own mind. Jocko writes, you declare martial law on your mind. And that discipline equals freedom. And the only way to truly get better and to get true freedom in your life is through discipline. Jocko learned that early on in the Navy, and he's applied it to everything else in his post-military life.
This is something that I learned when I got in the SEAL team. When I looked at the individuals that had a lot of respect as being very good SEAL operators, it was the guys that put in the work. It was the guys that had discipline. It was the guys that showed up early for work every day. It was the guys that did the extra repetitions on their shooting drills. It was the guys that had discipline that ended up being better. And so what that really translates to is they had more freedom. Because when you have a lot of respect as a SEAL operator, there's no one micromanaging you. There's no one telling you what to do. They're expecting you to do your job, and they give you the freedom to do it. And then that idea translates into everything. And the two examples that I always give that are very common, which no one can really argue with, is, of course, everyone wants financial freedom. The way that you get financial freedom is to have financial discipline. It's to save your money, to work hard, put in overtime. It's to invest your money properly. It's to have the discipline not to buy the stupid things that you don't even need. And if you have that kind of financial discipline, you will end up with financial freedom. Another example is free time. Of course, the way you get more free time is by having more disciplined time management. You have the discipline to wake up early in the morning. You have the discipline to have a schedule. You have the discipline to stick to the schedule. You have the discipline to say no to the things in your life that are actually not benefiting you in any way, but are just eating up your time.
You understand why I read this guy. You understand why we were chasing this guy for the side hustle, the podcast. You understand why. Now, some of you might say, and if you've seen pictures of Jocko or you've seen video of Jocko, he's an animal. You might say, easy for this guy to say. He's freaking Jocko. He's a beast. He's an animal. He's a decorated military vet. He's different. Man, I can't do that. I can never be that guy. You might think that. Jocko thinks that if you do think that, you're wrong. Again, he would tell you he's not superhuman. He would tell you he's as human as anybody else.
I would be talking to my kids about something, and they would give me that look of, well, that's because you're you. And the reality is, yes, I am me, and I'm a human being like everyone else. I have the same emotions, the same desires, the same weaknesses as everyone else, probably more. And once you recognize that, if I was running around saying, hey, I'm superhuman, I mean, believe me, first of all, it'd be a lie. It'd be a big, giant lie. I'm more human than anyone else. And what I do is decide that I'm going to control what my mind does. I'm not going to allow my mind to control me. I'm going to take control. I'm running the machine here. I'm going to make the decisions on what we're going to do, on what I'm going to do. I'm not just going to allow things to unfold. I'm not going to allow my life to unfold the way it unfolds. No, I'm actually going to dictate the situation. I'm going to make things the way I want them to be. And can I control everything? Absolutely not. No one can. So what can I control? The things that I can control, I'm going to do my best to get control of them and to control them. The things that I cannot control at all, the things that I have no control over, I don't worry about because I can't control them. I can't impact them. Yeah, I'm absolutely human, and so is everyone else. Come check my blood. It's the same.
Jocko Willink, he's got this amazing take. And what I'm going to play for you right now does not even begin to do it justice. The first time I read this in his book, it made me laugh out loud. It was so great. Like, the one thing that might separate Jocko from the rest of us is his take on donuts. My man hates donuts. Now, you may think you love donuts, and you might, just not nearly as much as Jocko hates donuts and what they represent.
Donuts, to me, just represent the absolute epitome and pinnacle of things that you should stay away from. Because let's face it, donuts have absolutely zero nutritional value whatsoever. They are purely made to taste good and give you nothing but make you fat and unhealthy. So when I see a donut, I just get angry that there's a donut. And what I find funny is, you know, I work with businesses all over the country, and what's funny is, for some reason, donuts make people feel so immediately gratified that people just bring donuts into the office and give them away to everyone for free. And yeah, I'm not a big fan of donuts. Donuts are sugar-coated lies. That's all they are. And they're lying to you with their beautiful taste and their jelly-filled center. So don't believe the lies and stay away from donuts. Your life will be better, I promise.
Quote, don't believe the lies and stay away from donuts. Your life will be better, I promise. And he writes about donuts, and it's even better. It's even funnier, and it cuts even deeper. It's an instant classic podcast. 40 Minutes of Jocko. That conversation right now is on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, JimRome.com. Hit him up on Twitter. He's at Jocko Willink. Let him know what you think. At Jocko Willink. If you love the David Goggins pod, and I know a ton of you did, and still reset to this very day, you will love Jocko. Trust me on this. Get some. Absolutely love this guy. One of my favorite conversations ever. It's amazing. This email says, "Hey, Rome, caught the podcast with Jocko this morning. I have to admit, going in, I didn't know much about the guy or what to expect. It was a great conversation. I think no matter what level of self-discipline you have in life, listening to this guy gives you the extra kick in the ass to work a little harder. He gives a good reminder that we control more of our lives than we think we do. Mental toughness is the key to achieving what you want in life. Giving up or playing the victim is always the easy way out. Hopefully you have him back on soon. I think we'll all be pushing away from the donuts in the office break room more often after that podcast. War, don't negotiate with weakness. Jamie in Green Bay." I can't stress this enough. That conversation is amazing, but it only touches, it scratches the surface of what this guy's to offer and what the message is. And I mentioned I read his book. He's written several books. I read his book 5 times, the same book, and I get something different out of it every single time. It's amazing. Let's go to Green Bay quickly. Caleb. Caleb, what's up?
Hey, Vance, what's going on, man?
What's up?
Amazing sit down with the Griffin brothers, the love they have for each other. Thanks for having them on. You're talking about Jocko Willink. You're talking about cheat meals. Some people have cheat days. I've had a cheat life. I'm tired of being a great big fat person, so I got in touch with the jungle's other favorite great big fat person, Beaks in Pluto's vicinity, and we agreed to a gentleman's wager over who could lose the most weight, but neither our health and happiness nor a friendly bet was enough motivation, we felt, so we decided to get some charities involved. We started a GoFundMe page, gofundme.com/Beaks vs. Caleb, Beaks vs. Caleb. If you have the app, just search for Beaks versus Caleb. You should be able to find it. Whoever loses the greater percentage of weight by November 1st will receive 75% of the donation for his favorite charity. The loser will donate the remaining 25%. Beaks has chosen Surf Aid, which provides malaria prevention, access to clean water, and mother-child health services to Indonesian communities that are isolated. I've selected a local charity here in Green Bay called Golden House, which offers shelter, counseling, and legal assistance to victims of domestic abuse. All the info is pinned at the top of my Twitter feed. Follow me at Caleb in Green Bay if you need the link. We're looking for a grand to start off with, which shouldn't be too hard among your 7 billion listeners. Final weigh-in November 1st. I started at 284. Beaks was 243. Clones, throw some money at us while we're on the treadmill so we can donate it to a good cause. Jim, I'll talk to you soon. Hey, Beaks, bench the donuts. Thanks.
Good job, Caleb. I'm on their GoFundMe page right now. It is legit. It's a great cause. It's great competition. Clones, jump on that. Good, good day. Also, find Jocko on Twitter and tell him what you thought about what you heard, especially if you've heard the entire podcast. My thanks to the brothers Griffin, Shaquem and Shaquille. They were in studio. What a great, great conversation that was. Darius Leonard of the Colts. Howard Beck, a senior NBA writer. Appreciate you, Clones. Now go find EP88 with Jocko Willink. It's up now. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow. We're out.
Bench the donuts.